Tired Teddy.
Ah, yes.
Oh, no, Chris Wilson's fucked it.
You all right?
Out of his coffee. What time is it even?
It's not even 10:30.
No, but it's because I'm always awake at like 5:30 in the
morning. We've got 4 hours worth of Saudi Arabia-based pay-per-views to watch back at mine on the network.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
So you've not seen anything of that yet?
No, no.
Okay. Are you going to bother?
No.
I mean,
it's a double header. Greatest Royal Rumble, then Crown Jewel, back to back.
Yeah, do you not want to find out who the greatest wrestler in the world is from the World Cup?
Best in the world.
The best in the world
with a trophy, the massive trophy and everything. Do you not want to know who wins?
Go on then, hit me with it.
Well, Vince Russo has come back from the grave.
I didn't realise he was dead.
The wrestling grave.
The professional grave. Mm. And basically, you think you're in for an almost like a shoot match between
Ziggles.
Big Dolph Ziggles, yeah. And The Miz. And then The Miz tweaks his knee, just like real randomly.
Hilariously faked,
yeah. And then, like, Baron Corbin's like, oh, yeah, Raw wins it, Dolph Ziggler wins it by forfeit, and then Shane McMahon's giving it the big one. And he's like, no, I'll do it, I'll step in for him, I'll stand in for him, so Shane McMahon is the best in the world. That tournament that's been going on a month, like, all the wrestlers in the Fed.
And Shane McMahon wins it.
Shane McMahon just steps in at the end.
Well, at least had a competitive 15-minute match to win it, no?
Well, I mean
he was in the match.
It was more like 5 minutes.
About 5 minutes, yeah. Usual Shane O'Mac stuff, a coast-to-coast, and it was over. It was a fucking good coast-to-coast.
It was a good coast-to-coast.
Yeah, it was solid. When there's not a trash can in the way, it looks fucking brutal.
Was it a golf coast-to-coast?
Hey.
Cinemortuary, your fortnightly, got it right this time.
Yay.
Digest of digestible goodness, all things horror reboots, sequels, squeakles, screamquels, and remakes, even prequels sometimes.
Sometimes.
With me, as always, is Roberto Del Yamans.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Yay. Good, living the dream.
Yeah, you all kebabbed up.
Oh, well, truly, yeah.
Babylon.
Nearly comatose here. Everything's great, though.
Yeah, happy days.
Oh, happy days, mate, yeah.
Happy days, good. And, yeah, so moving on.
Let's get started.
Yes, and with me also is Christopher J. Donald Wilson. How's it going, dude?
I'm taking coffee intravenously now because I just need the caffeine.
Suppository's not enough.
No, I'm taking it every which way I can.
You're still on about coffee, yeah?
No.
Not much of a listener's, was it? Like a big slurp.
Tasty.
Telling a story with his words.
Mm.
Yeah.
At least he's using his words, not his violence for once.
Oh, true.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Mm-hmm. My violence comes later.
Oh, God.
And this week it is my pick.
Your pick?
It's my pick.
I thought you said it was the Muppets.
Ooh, yeah, let's do the Muppets.
Pity the Muppets have never done like a horror kind of film, isn't it?
That'd be fucking sick, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
Yeah.
Be pretty good, that.
Yeah, like Scream 5.
Yeah.
Self-referential. It's got to be self-referential.
Yeah. And that kind of work as a sequel, because it could be a sequel to, like, you know, the previous Muppets films.
Absolutely, yeah. It's all canon.
Of course it is.
It's all big old canon. Yes, it is my turn in the big boy's porcelain chair.
Big boy chair.
Big boy chair. And this week it is Zombie 2, or Zombie, or Zombie Flesh Eaters.
Zombie Flesh Eaters.
Yeah.
Where I come from.
Is that what your DVD's called?
Yeah.
What was your YouTube link, Wilson, /Netflix?
Zombie.
Just Zombie?
It was all on YouTube, or it was when I watched it.
Many different versions.
Yeah.
There's a hilarious German dub, if you want to revisit it, I don't know.
What, as in spoken over in German, or some Germans trying to do with the English accent?
Both.
Hello. Jesus. No, yeah, plenty of dubs out there. I think there's like 20 different versions of this on YouTube. Yeah. So you can watch along if you so want to.
If you so desire.
Mm-hmm.
So, what would you class this film as, Dave? Remake, sequel, reboot, or none of the above?
Do soft sequels exist?
Well, I mean, how or, so?
Or maybe an imposing sequel?
Incidental relation. Like a
incidental
distant cousin.
Relation with some reshoots to vaguely tie it in somehow that don't really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tenuous.
Tenuous. A tenuous sequel.
Tenuous sequel. Yeah, yeah. Tenuous link.
Yes.
Stretching the concept of this very podcast to its...
to its limit.
Its utter limit.
Yeah.
But it's weird because in the various different countries, they all have different names.
Yeah.
Based on the fucked up chronology of it. So in Italy, they've got Dawn of the Dead, then Zombie 2, then Zombie 3, and then I think the fourth one's called Zombie Flesh Eaters.
Fuck.
Yeah.
There's another Zombie Flesh Eaters that isn't this one.
Yeah, of course there is, yeah.
And so yeah. What's the that other one then? What's that over here? What's that one called?
I don't know.
Zombie Flesh Eaters 3, probably.
Okay.
No, it'll be Zombie 4, Zombie Flesh Eaters 2. Now, we can't really complain about this, because we over here...
That just sounded like an FA Cup.
Yeah. But like,
when
you
it's
know,
going on to face Man United.
In the civilised Western world, we've got First Blood, then we've got First Blood Part 2.
That still don't make any sense.
No, sorry, Rambo, First Blood Part 2. Then you got Rambo 3, and then you got John Rambo. Sorry, just Rambo, innit?
Just Rambo, yeah.
And then there's Rambo 5.
Rambo number
is that,
5.
Is that still been threatened? Is that
it's still been threatened. I thought Rambo 4 was good, though.
It's all right, yeah. It's all right.
Fucking nasty.
Yeah, well, it's just a lot of people getting violently killed for 2 hours.
Yeah,
pretty much.
It gets a pass. So this is it is confusing, but as far as the Italians are concerned, and they're very prideful on their zombies and gore.
It's canon in their eyes.
It's canon in their eyes, yeah.
So why? What is the rationale for the selection, Dave? Why did you pick this?
I remember I had it on the shelf and gave it a watch.
Right.
And then I knew kind of vaguely the story behind it of how it was pitched as, and then with some sequences reshot and redubbed in places to make it tie into Dawn of the Dead.
Sure.
Which when you watch it, you think, it doesn't really, it's just on a city. But originally it was all on the main island.
Right.
And it was like a standalone location, standalone piece.
Yeah.
And then the bookends of the film basically try and tie it into America.
Right.
So it's an interesting one, I think. Yeah, yeah.
So it's directed by Lucio Fulci.
Yes, whose only other film I've seen is City of the Living Dead.
Yep.
And I fucking hate that film.
He's a bit of an Italian horror legend, though, isn't he?
He is an Italian horror legend. He's not
Giallo
good, though.
Legend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Blood is, guts, eye popping, that sort of stuff.
This is the only film of his I've ever seen, to be honest with you.
Yeah?
I've seen this once before.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, thought it was all right.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get into it more as we go, I guess, but some pretty pretty groundbreaking makeup effects work involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To say it's on minimal budget European film company.
Yeah.
There's some pretty exciting stuff going on, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And some spooky shit as well.
Spooky.
Some genuinely spooky bits, but yeah. So I suppose we should dive into Lucio Fulci's The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Let's dive in. I see what he did there.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Someone with notes take the reins because it's been about 2 months.
All right. For God's sake. You need to make some fucking notes, Dave.
I can't write at a minute.
Oh.
I don't do notes.
Bad old excuse.
Well, let's do it on the night.
A little bit of contextualisation, I guess, before we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Zombie Flesh is one of the original video nasties back in the 80s.
Oh, was it classed as a video nasty?
It was classed as a video nasty. Oh, I did a little bit of research on the subject. It was one of that slew of films that came onto VHS in the early to mid-80s that was considered to be video nasties.
Zombies and Cannibals, ban it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, gore, ban it.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Tia Farrow, sister of Mia.
Mm-hmm.
Mia and Tia.
Interesting.
Yeah, makes sense, doesn't it? Those are my two fun facts about this film.
Any fun facts, Willie?
No.
Dear me, I think we're in for a fun old time, aren't we?
It's me and you again this week, Dave. So it opens then, Dave, since I've got notes, on a ghost sailboat drifting into the Hudson Bay in New York.
Absolutely.
Gets pulled by two coppers.
Mm-hmm.
Who seems to be under pressure thinking he can get a bonus from bringing in the boat.
That confused us.
Is that
fucking
for
maritime
scrap?
Salvage?
What?
Is this fucking whole Last House on the Left fucking Benny Hill fucking cop nonsense again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ahoy there! This is the Harbor Patrol. Anyone on board?
Hey, Sarge, that boat's abandoned.
Yeah, she looks abandoned. The only question is, why? Hey, if she is Marty, we stand to make a nice little bonus when we bring her in.
Yeah. Let's get over there and check.
Bring her up alongside. Hey, watch out for the sail!
Huh? What?
What the hell's going on?
Sorry, the winch is broken.
I'll fix the sail. You go below and look around.
Okay.
Yes, mate.
Fuck me. Useless.
Yeah. My first exposure to this scene was me and Eleanor bought a copy of Shockwaves. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Peter Cushing, Nazi zombies.
No.
Fucking shocking. And the trailer that plays for Zombie Flesh Eaters at the start of it is literally 2 minutes from the opening sequence.
Right.
And we thought we were watching that film.
Oh, dear.
And it's just a big boy zombie getting tagged out.
Oh, my God.
Points for a big boy zombie, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a big boy zombie appears here.
Yeah.
Early doors.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty fucking, like, it kind of sets the bar, makeup-wise, mm-hmm. fairly early on. Mm. I mean, I'm not the world's biggest lover of some things about this film, but I think mm-hmm. the makeup effects and stuff like that are pretty, yeah. pretty top-end, Dave.
Yeah.
I quite liked the sort of, it seemed to have been shot very, very early morning. Think, or at a time when New York was quite quiet and the lights red, and it was pretty atmospheric to look at.
It is pretty kind of cold and kind of. I mean, obviously it's grainy,
yeah.
But there's just something quite surreal about the look of it,
yeah.
And I think that's kind of 70s and 80s Italian horror cinema, to be honest.
Yeah,
there's something very sort of off kilter about the whole experience.
Yeah, and that first sort of. Moment where one of the cops gets bitten by the zombie. There's no fucking fanning about with the bites here. It's like proper chunks coming out of people's necks. It's pretty grotesque stuff.
So I really like this. I mean, it's been a while since we've watched a film on here where there's been proper gore. In sort of like full on.
Fucking zoom in on that bastard,
What it would look like more likely in reality. It's always a bit sanitized, a bit cleaned up.
Yeah.
Preferably covered in as much goo as possible so you don't see the giblets.
Yeah.
This is all giblets and skin, isn't it?
It is, it's really fucking grotesque and I quite like it.
Yeah. It's satisfying. I think the violence is satisfying. Now I think about it, the beginning and the end, the American shot stuff, does remind me of Texas Chainsaw. The first one.
Just the colour palette.
The colour palette, the way stuff's framed almost.
Yeah.
Almost like it's semi-documentary-esque. And they literally rocked it with a fucking camera and they're on a boat, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm.
But I think that's what is selling it to me.
Yeah.
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 And just to note at the end of this, there are two cops, the second cop manages to shoot the zombie overboard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so is now in the water.
Big boy zombie bounces over the rim.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just fanning around in the water for presumably for the remainder of the narrative.
Yeah, we don't see him again.
No.
So from there we go to a sort of mortuary type setup where the...
Some sort of cinema mortuary.
Oh, hey!
Fucking settle down, we're only 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
All right, no need for the biggins now, all right.
The post-mortem has been carried out on the cop who's just been bitten, and we get a nice little bit of sheet movement with the arm underneath.
Classic.
And then we cut away.
We do. That's the tease.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Done with that.
What happens next, Dave?
I don't know, mate. I don't know. I've watched five Tremors films since this.
Fuck it off. So we've introduced two people here. We've got Peter, a sort of reporter who's told about the boat and how there's something a bit suspicious going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's your assignment, go look into it.
Older 70s man.
Mm-hmm.
His skin is very tanned.
And then you've got Anne Bowles, being interrogated what seems like 23 different cops on the boat,
mm-hmm.
yep.
because the boat belongs to her dad, if I remember rightly.
Yes.
And, well, she's not seen him for like 3 months, and neither has anyone else, really.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he?
Where is he?
I found this scene quite hilarious, because every time she turned on, there was like a new cop there. Like, the camera just like switch on a different angle, like, there's yep. one, there's the one, the one.
Just 18 yeah. cops on this fucking boat.
Yeah.
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 The fact that there's a letter on the boat as well is quite funny. Blood and guts everywhere.
Yeah.
She said, go and have a look if you want. If you spot your dad, give us a shout.
yeah, so she's
mind your feet.
Suitably repulsed by the situation. And is it at this point she meets up with Matey Boy?
Yeah, because she goes back later on to investigate like, what the fuck's going on. And Peter is already on there.
Peter and his ball patch are already on there, mate.
Yeah.
Don't they rummage immediately? Pretty much.
Yeah. They do a deceptive rummage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do, yeah.
Because when the cop comes in, it's like, oh, no, I'm just a 50-year-old man making out with this 20-year-old woman whose dad's boat this is.
It's the old cliche of, we're about to be caught, quick, pretend we're kissing.
That's right, yeah.
Except this time it's a full-on bed.
Full-on bed.
Full-on bed.
Basically a rummage.
Yeah. It's a definite 6 out of 10 on the rummage
scale. Yeah, yeah. it registers, for sure.
Yeah.
It registers, for sure. And so they kind of get their heads together and decide that they need to basically head off to the Caribbean and find out the source of the trouble on mm-hmm. the boat and try and make an attempt to track down her dad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, haven't they got a diary or something? At this point, this is where my notes start getting a bit fuzzy because you started distracting me by texting me all about Crown Jewel. Which by the time this episode goes out, this will be ancient history.
But it will be removed from the annals of WWE history, probably.
Yeah. But at this point, I already got texts just saying, fuck off.
that was me.
Yeah. Big.
Please do get your texts out, Wilson.
Yeah. Let me get the text out here.
Dave can have a bit of his coffee. I can just have a little bit of my water. Everything's great. Put a bit of hold music on, Dave.
So,
that, take Dave off hold.
Okay, well, there we go. That Universal title match was fucking rubbish. Oh my god. Fuck off. They have done an injury angle with him, and Shane McMahon has just put himself into the final. Shane McMahon is the best in the world. I can't even. DX haven't even been on yet.
That was my running commentary.
Yeah, that's really good, that.
Yeah.
Better than Michael Cole's.
Michael Cole, who said that Kurt Angle made his debut at Survivor Series 1998 when it was Survivor Series 1999, you prick!
Jesus.
Zombie flesh eaters.
Absolutely.
We have a mooch off to the Caribbean.
Way of Miami, I think.
Yeah, via way of Miami, I think.
We drive down there, meet up with a young couple.
Yeah, so this is a continuation of our Cinemotry Air Miles here. We're ticking Absolutely. Over nicely. Yeah. We've covered some mileage Absolutely. Over the last year or so, yeah. lads.
Nice scenic little boat trip. Tits!
Tits, yes.
Tits!
Tits galore in this
Tits!
Bit tit.
Yeah!
My good friend Chris Chambers would be very pleased with the tit count in this film. It's high.
It's ludicrous.
It's just unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary.
And we'll come on to it properly later when we get to
do
the scene.
Do you want any cereal, love? Oh, you got your tits out again. Then you do your thing. Right.
Well, it's like when... I mean, we'll come on to it properly when we get to the scene, but it's like, why does a woman go scuba diving naked?
Well, she just kind of hangs around on a boat naked as well.
Fucking hell.
You clear it with the people who are renting your boat first. If Wilson just, like, thwapped his gear off, yeah. slammed his dick on the table.
The question is, would you go scuba diving with your dick out?
No.
Probably not, no, not with snapping turtles and shit.
Exactly.
No.
I mean, one thing I did that did flag itself up to me very early on in
breasts are not sexual organs, Chris.
Oh my god.
Carry on, mate.
I went in a different direction. The dubbing is pretty fucking bad here.
Ooh.
I mean, it's like Kung Fu film from the 70s level bad.
It's delicious, isn't it?
Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Why is it so bad when you're dealing with American actors?
I don't know. I don't fucking know. Are the two people they rent the boat off, are they Italian?
Well, maybe, but some of the bad dubbing is Mia Farrow's sister and Matey Boy, the main guy.
Yeah.
Who are both Patch, British.
Will Patch Jackson, yeah.
Fucking hell. Just kind of is what it is, isn't it, really?
Oh, actually, I don't think they recorded any location audio. That was it. There's no location audio recorded. And if you've stuck it out to the credits, you watch the credits, the first people to get fucking top billing above actors, director, composer, all that shit, is the fucking audio services that switched it around and saved it.
First, or shall we go straight to the hotel?
I don't know, whatever you think.
Senor, do you know anyone who can rent us a boat?
Boat, senor? I'm sorry, not easy to find boat.
We want to go to Motul. It's very important. I'm willing to pay whatever it costs.
Just now I remember something, senor. This morning, a friend of mine, he say, two Americans may cruise the islands.
Ahoy there. Hi.
How are yourself?
Hi, how you doing?
I am Peter West, and this is Ann Bowles.
Susan Barrett. You're talking to Brian Howe. Now, you wouldn't be looking for a boat, right?
We would. We hear you're going on a tour of the islands.
Yeah, a little cruise. 2 months of fishing, bathing, and sunshine.
Well, we have to go to Motul.
That literally credit is lifesavers.
Yeah. The credits start and roll, and ADR supplied by, like, Jesus Christ.
Maybe a bit early, aren't we?
Yes, it's all ADR, mate.
Yeah.
Fun times.
So, they're heading off towards Motul, I think is the name of the island.
Just somewhere near Guadeloupe, I believe, because Guadeloupe's referenced in a phone conversation earlier on. Yeah. So I think it's that kind of part of the world.
I'm not sure if it's Motul is a real place.
No, probably not.
I've not really heard of it. I do know the soundtrack to all like the bits just as about arrive on the island. Sounds like a really crap Lutz advert.
Yeah, it's really shit, the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I've got the soundtrack up there.
Shit though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's got a picture of a shark fighting a zombie on the front, so that's you.
Spoilers.
We'll come on, mate. I picked this film 3 episodes ago and I said it had a shark on it.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I mean, it is the thing that people must remember.
I was going to introduce us to Dr. Maynard.
Yes, please do. Mm.
Yeah, who is seemingly stuck on the island of Motul with his increasingly hysterical wife.
Yep.
I'd say no communication with the outside world and... Well, he's there doing experiments on, he's describing it on the undead, really.
Yeah.
Shall we say?
He's basically, he's kind of like in this sort of trial and error situation with the undead where it just sort of gradually spirals and becomes worse and worse.
So is he making them die, or is he bringing them back, or is he... Because there's an illness, isn't there?
Yeah. I think it's a little from column A, a little from column B.
Right.
But... In the immediate term, where we are in our narrative, like I said, his wife's getting quite hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously you're asking, is she crazy? Or, you know, is he keeping her basically prisoner there? You know, is he bullshitting her about not being able to communicate with anyone?
Yeah.
This is Motul calling Guadalupe 1. Motul calling Guadalupe 1. Come in, Guadalupe. This is Dr. Maynard calling Guadalupe 1. Maynard calling Guadalupe 1. Come in, Guadalupe 1.
Still no luck?
I'm afraid it's useless to go on trying.
Then we're cut off from the rest of the world. I want to leave this damn island right now.
Well, you can't right now. The radio isn't working.
How convenient for you. I wouldn't be surprised if you broke it on purpose.
And... She starts be a little in his research into like voodoo and all that lot, so she gets a good hard slap. For the
I was
going to
say
it.
She needs a stiff gin and a slap to calm down.
Well, she got the slap. Yeah. And then she can get the gin, but hopefully she doesn't try and order it from me because, you know, if I go to that bar again.
Gin and slime tonic.
Gin of a week with slimline tonic.
Yay!
Hey.
Got it! Thank you.
I mean, there's two observations I'd like to make at this point in the film. Yeah. Number one is that we are currently, and I wrote it down here in my notes, 27 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of zombie action just yet.
Not yet.
A bit of a slow burn on the zombie action.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, when I'm watching a zombie film, the thing that immediately switches me off is any reference to voodoo zombies.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not into that shit.
Oh, man. Not like White Zombie, I Walk With a Zombie, none of that classic stuff.
None of that. Don't do it for me. Never has. Oh, I just find the voodoo thing too much of a stretch with my Living Dead.
Okay.
I like scientific zombies.
Okay.
It's each to their own. But
Venus probes for you, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just not into the whole voodoo aspect. Mm-hmm. I'm really sorry.
That's all right.
I mean, he did pick Exorcist 2.
I did, but I can't pick
that's
it again.
That's not voodoo, that's juju, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, completely different. It's the non-copyrighted version. Yeah, no. Yeah.
I cannot stoop that low again, statistically, so don't worry about it, guys. I've bottomed out. You two have still time yet to make things worse for yourselves.
Also to note in this scene, she says the Z-word.
What? Say that.
What?
Z-word. Say it.
Excellent. Yeah. And one of the very rare times in a zombie film where someone actually says zombie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's always this weird thing about not actually saying it. It's a bit like Macbeth.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't have said that either.
Shouldn't have said that.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah. Give no Candyman either, please.
Just not five times. You can say it once.
Yeah, say it once.
What, Candyman? Candyman, you mean? Candyman?
You got to do it in a mirror.
Candyman.
Rob, Candyman. It doesn't really work. You got to look in a mirror. You got to go get a mirror now and do it. Well, sorry, there's one there. Go do it in the mirror. No, don't. Anyway. Zombie flesh eaters. So, are we coming up to the bit where we have a bit of underwater diving action with a naked woman?
Bit of shit.
Scuba boobs.
Scuba boobs.
Scoobs.
Scooby-dooby-doo. Initial observation.
Scooby-booby-boo.
Underwater work here, much, much better than Jaws 3.
Absolutely.
Fucking hell.
Got a proper shark trainer on site as well.
Yeah, it's like, it feels like this was thought out.
Yes.
Or thought about in some way.
To some degree, yes it was.
It looks quite nice, this underwater sequence.
It looks really nice and blue. You got all them tropical plants underneath there. It's almost like they actually shot it in the ocean.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it's really nice though.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Also.
Pidgey.
Boobs.
Yeah, boobs. A little bit unnecessary on the boob front, but you know.
Little bit, but at this point, we're half an hour in. You got to do something, haven't you?
My interest was waning slightly at this point.
Yeah. We just had a scene with a pair of tits, so we might as well see another pair of tits.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Meanwhile, kit.
Well, you know, you just got to do it, haven't you?
Yeah, you will fluff them out, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, boob level's going up by the second.
Yep.
And meanwhile, Anne somehow spots the island from a distance, even though it's just a bit of a line along all sorts of other lines going on in the horizon.
Well, we're just spoiled by technology. People were all kind of natural navigators back then.
Okay. What with actual maps and...
Yeah.
Just eyesight. Yeah.
It's amazing how...
So those computers are masturbating when it's taking our eyesight away, isn't it?
Yeah. It's amazing how that works, though, because quite recently I was driving to a fairly rural location for work and my sat-nav failed me.
Oh, tits.
And what happened was I read the road signs.
Oh, ooh.
It turns out if you read road signs, you get where you need to go.
That's a slippery slope, that, mate.
Fucking got there, though.
Next, you'll get your calipers out and your compass. And
I know. But honestly, you would almost think road signs were there for a reason. Remarkable.
Right, can we come back from your magical fantasy world of Harry Potter and road functioning signs. Road signs?
Yeah. Let's go back into the much more realistic world of sharks fighting zombies.
Yeah.
So, the main bit of a film.
Yep.
The best bit, shall we say.
Yes, the selling point.
There's another good bit.
But we finally answer the question of who would win in a fight, a shark or a zombie. It's the 70s version of Pirate and Ninja.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever resolved, is it? It kind of closes and the shark's got an arm.
Yeah. It's a bit like Freddy versus Jason, isn't it? It's a bit of a scourge, Roy, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
I do have a query, though, coming out.
Like one wins, but then there's attack straight after the match, so we get the heat back.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I do have a query coming out of this scene, though. Have you seen any of the sequels to this film?
No.
I wonder, because obviously this is kind of like a score draw at the end, does this mean that there is a zombie shark in a later installment because the shark's
pretty
been bitten?
Sure there will be.
You would have thought so, wouldn't you?
Fucking things. Mm. Yeah.
We maybe need to investigate that further.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get on it.
Because I'd be quite keen on the idea of a zombie shark.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure we'll come back to this franchise at some point if you want, Rob.
Well, maybe in about 3 years.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe shark bites the zombie's arm off, but not the other way around.
Yeah.
And in my notes here, I've written down that it's I've got the same work rate as the main event of Crown Jewel.
Oh! Yeah, bringing it back. Rob, how was that main event?
It was like four zombies fighting each other. No, it was like your dad getting pissed and doing karaoke in your local after about 8 pints. That's what it looked like.
And then your uncle Sean does a moonsault off the cabs.
And what song is your drunk dad singing?
He's singing Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
Oh, fucking hell, is he serious? Steady on now. Ooh. I've met your dad, he's fucking not.
He's expecting crowd participation, much like the main event of Crown Jewel, but sadly they got none. There was no bump, bump, bump from anyone that night.
No,
just
it was
a bump, bump.
A load of dudes on their phones.
Yeah, just a load of dudes on the phones. No one even shouted, "Please retire." It was very disappointing.
Yeah,
but please retire.
You still got a chant when he did the kick-up.
Because he managed to do a kick-up, but he nearly fell over when he did that.
Wait, are we still talking about the karaoke?
Well, sort of. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, zombie flesh eaters.
It's a solid fight, to be honest. I'm quite happy with that, yeah.
Yep.
Pretty satisfying. It is a real shark. The actor didn't want to do it that was going to be the zombie. So the guy dressed as the zombie is the actual shark's trainer, which looks like, when you're watching it, you think, that zombie has had a run-in with a shark before because he knows exactly how to handle that shark.
Yeah.
And how to direct it. So, yeah, it's the shark's trainer. And apparently he gave it, like, shitloads of food the same day.
Yeah.
And gave it some tranquilizers.
I mean, you would want to make sure that you're not going to get eaten by the shark.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. It's slightly unethical in 2018.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's probably slightly unethical in 1979.
Yeah, true, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still a better performance than that upside-down shark in Jaws 3, though.
Oh, yeah. The plaggy shark.
Yes. I'm still half and half on that, mate.
Oh, mate, I don't know. Maybe we'll have to go and ask the director of Jaws 3 what happened there.
Yeah, he's had a long time to think about it.
He has. So, yeah, fight resolved. Everyone gets themselves back up on the island. We have a little bit of point of view zombie stalking going on. Some yet more tits.
Bit of tit.
Yeah, bit of tit. And then we have a scene where a zombie very slowly tries to force its way into a woman's bedroom.
This is fucking horrible, this sequence.
It's horrible from start to finish. Like, she snaps all its fingers off in the door, which is horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it goes from bad to worse then, doesn't it?
It's Doctor's Waifu, isn't it? Yeah,
Doctor's Waifu, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, the zombie, as pointed out by Tony Todd, if you make your doors out of ship wood, then they can break through it.
Yeah.
It does break through it, gets a head, handful of hair, which is pretty unethical, and on a splintered bit of the door. Over the course of about 3 years, drives the massive splinter into her eyeball, which pops again, pops from a different angle, and the whole time she's just screaming, and it's...
It doesn't go in the eyeball, does it? It kind of, like, pushes it out.
Yeah. It goes. Does it go into the socket?
It kind of goes, like, a little bit in and then back out again.
Oh, yeah. It's all kinds of nasty. Someone really thought about how to do that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, a simple eye burst would have been okay, but the fact that it...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what... Eye sort of things
Yeah.
Unbelievable makeup effects ago.
Oh, yeah. It's all fantastic. I was like, the one thing I don't like seeing is that and teeth. Those are my main two things.
Okay.
I really don't like seeing.
Are you a fan of a good teeth pulling scene as well?
I don't like teeth.
Generally not into teeth at all.
You should definitely go see the new Halloween.
Oh, well, I would have done by the time this comes out, you'd hope. Bloody hell.
Trailer though, so not a spoiler.
Trailer, not a spoiler, but the dude's face is a... That's not in the trailer.
No, well, it shouldn't really discuss it. Have we got them
teeth?
We?
No.
Shouldn't really
discuss it. No, I'm just planting the seed for
planting the seed. I was going to try and get to go see it this afternoon, but there's no showings on.
Is there not already? Fuck's sake.
Well, there might have been one. There was one at like F5.
Mm-hmm.
It's made like $200 million already. No need to worry about that.
Mm. We're very dating this episode.
Yeah, fuck it, it'd be fine.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Did everyone have a nice mince pie laden Christmas?
You hate mince pies.
I fucking do hate mince pies, correct. But yeah, back to the eye thing. I mean, it's got to be killer of the week, hasn't it? It's certainly a contender. What are you saying?
What's your thoughts on Christmas pudding?
I don't eat anything that's custom set on fire, you know that.
What, not even like meat? It'd be a bit raw.
No, I mean, you don't bring your meat out to the table and then set it on fire, do you? You do that with Christmas pudding.
They do in Germany.
Well, you know, I love German people, but they are mental.
I've got friends who are Germans, and there are lots of Germans, but they are mental.
I've been to Berlin.
For 5 minutes.
3 days, actually.
Oh, good God, okay. I
mainly in the airport. We left as soon as we could.
I'm not going out there.
For Germans.
Got a German flag up.
I know the name of both airports in Berlin, I'll have you know.
Oh, going in, what are they then?
So the East German side, the one I flew to, is Schönfeld.
Berlin 1, Berlin 2.
And the West German side is Tegel.
Well, that's cute.
Tegel. T-I-E-G-E-L. Tegel.
Aw.
There you go.
There we go, he is a man of the world, I told you.
Fuck you both. So, yeah, I mean, it's a contender for Kill of the Week, the old...
I'm pretty settled on that being... Yeah.
I think it is.
Yes, yeah. It is, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking nasty. Yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of...
We go back to Maynard, who's so drunk that his voice is out of sync.
Yes. Yeah. That's how hammered he is.
Yeah. And Maynard finally meets up with the rest of the guys. Well, after, like, they find a flammer boat, and, yeah, Maynard and his crew see him. But as they do... Maynard's crew are like putting another body into a grave full of bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just to,
it's not a good opener, is it?
Not really. Not really. Especially we've all got like the same like bloody face rag over them as well.
Yeah, yeah. They look like they've been wrapped in bedsheets and had a foot kicked out of them, which is not. You don't want to go to a tropical island. That's the first thing you see.
No,
not go really, back to a resort, wouldn't you?
Don't even want to see that in Grimsby. You know, never mind a tropical island.
No.
And on a sort of slightly different note, these sequences with the Doctor, they kind of play up both the voodoo and the medical origins of zombie mythology at the same time, which is quite an interesting move. I think it's almost like they were a little bit conflicted themselves, storyline-wise, as to what direction they want to go with the origin of the zombies. I don't think they really decide on that either which way.
No, it's never really fully explained or resolved.
No.
Once you move it into the third act and you're expecting resolution, you get something else.
Yeah.
But, hey.
Mm.
Yeah.
We also finally get an explanation Maynard gives of what happened to Anne's dad.
He did.
Basically, yeah.
Was he the fella on the boat?
I believe he was, yeah. And I think he gets a bit zombified, so boom, headshot.
Yeah,
he's gone.
It does get quite repetitive at this point, doesn't it? Like, it almost feels like there's a little section in the middle of the film where it's just a montage of this Doctor kind of explaining pockets of shit. And then, like, getting new patients, then shooting them in the exact same shot. I think it's the same shot he uses for all of them.
It's two or three times, yeah.
And it's like a cycle of this. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he's kind of just repeating his previous mistakes and not making any progress whatsoever in whatever it is he's trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And so they, I can't even remember why they come to this conclusion, but they decide to, the gang drive along to like try and find Maynard's wife, while Maynard stays behind with his a guy called Fritz, who is like one of the, his people he works with, and he doesn't look that great.
Frankenstein reference.
Basically, yeah.
The assistant was Fritz.
Yeah. And
I like that he doesn't give a shit about his wife either. No, no. My wife's on the other side of the island. Do you want us to go check on it? Yeah, if you want.
Yeah, yeah. Just like, yeah.
Doors open.
You go do it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tell her to get tea on.
Yeah, so she... The scene where they find her being eaten by the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking pretty brutal again.
Yeah.
But it did put me in mind a little bit of Night of the Living Dead, the Romero Night of the Living Dead,
mm-hmm.
In the sequence where they find the little girl eating the mother in the basement,
mm-hmm.
and that it's kind of, it's very impactful and graphic in a similar mm-hmm. sort of way.
Yeah.
And it's really, again, like, superb makeup effects.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The camera just fucking sits back and lets you take the whole scene in, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and it's completely. Fucking savage. It's horrible. Yeah.
Savage is the term, definitely.
Absolutely, savage.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever
did this had an eye for detail, mate.
Yeah, I mean, you can clearly see why it's a video nasty. And
an
even,
eye for detail, mate.
Oh, fuck off.
We're getting there.
Even back to the standards, the gore's pretty fucking gore-rific.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. You see, like I say, it's easy to see why it was a video nasty.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm.
Oh, give him a hand. So next, we've got my cliche moment of the week.
Oh, tell us, Willie.
Yeah, I've got all of those, yes. Where they're driving along and they suddenly, hey, look out, because someone steps out onto the road. So they drive off the road, and their pure logic is, well, we'll keep a foot on the accelerator and we'll drive into this tree.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But they never, you know, think of braking, and they just never think of... Yeah, just take foot off them. They never think, how about we avoid that tree for once?
Yeah, yeah. You're doing 30, we go off the road, better crank it up to 70.
Yeah. Might as well go out spectacular, you know?
If you hit me at 20 miles an hour...
Did you ever find that remix?
No, I fucking looked. I really looked. Oh. Yeah, yeah. The one that I put in that episode that time was just like a botch make. I put two together. Two songs.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
It's not the same, is it?
No.
No.
Well, the dramatically convenient car crash is a good shout for cliche moment of the week.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that kind of lands him in the rainforest, doesn't it, really?
It does, yeah, and it fucks Peter's ankle up as well, so now we basically can't run anywhere.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Just a bloody burden to everyone now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Bloody hell, Peter. Why didn't you think of this before your friend drove into that tree?
Yeah, absolutely. Pete.
Yeah.
Dickhead.
Wah!
So does this lead us on to the zombies rising up from their graves in the forest sequence?
Yep. I've tried writing this down. The conquistadores, which is Spanish for cemetery.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, no, Dan. I even swat it all incorrectly, so I know what I was saying.
Nice.
For once.
That adds a slightly nasty edge to what a conquistador is.
It does really. A little bit, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, mate.
Yeah.
Hmm. Graveyard dude.
Yeah, graveyard dude, shoot. So this sequence is probably one of the most iconic sequences of the film. Yeah. I would say it's my favourite scene in the film, and it's this film's been on a lot of them countdown programmes in the past, like about horror moments or... you know, scariest horror film moment. Yeah. And this is the one that they always put on them shows where they come through the ground and that girl gets bit, tits out girl, who's had a tits out for the entire film, bless her, gets the big tag out here, doesn't she? She gets the big chunky bite taken out of her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
brutal again.
Lovely stuff.
Pretty meaty stuff, yeah. Yeah, because like you get like different zombies rising up, like hands like dragging up and grabbing at him and all of his blood. But
it's done nice and slow as well, which is what I like. It maintains its creep factor.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's real people buried under like maybe a foot of mud.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they're covered in worms and shit.
Yeah.
It's so
effective.
Yeah. It's got a nastiness factor to it. I don't think I've seen a reveal of a zombie that was quite that good.
No.
You know, maybe Land of the Dead when they're coming out of the water, but they've already been revealed at that point.
Yeah.
But it's...
Whew. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's kind of like... It is hamstrung a little bit by the soundtrack, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, it's very, very... From a purely visual and from a sort of makeup and prosthetic perspective, it's fucking top end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So there's kind of like a bit of a montage sequence here of quite a few zombies rising up. There's a little bit more pontification on voodoo and zombies and all of that shit from the doctor guy. Again, they can't really decipher or decide what direction they're going in with the voodoo medical shit. And it's kind of like, you know, it gets a bit lost within itself, really.
What if it's deliberately ambiguous?
Yeah, because they don't have a clue, do they?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
What if it's because George Romero never revealed what it actually was, so they're not going to do that?
No, true.
It is the sequel, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's aliens.
Dust
from outer space.
Dust from outer space, yes, that's my favourite kind.
Cosmic winds.
Fuck, you know. So we're kind of like heading towards sort of the final act, where they all kind of barricade themselves in the hospital, is that
right? Yeah, so they all head back to where Maynard is and barricade themselves up there. And all the zombies, for some reason, have all risen up and they seem attracted to this one place. I guess this is like the only place with living human flesh. That's why they're going there. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's it. I really like what's going on outside the barn.
They're just like,
Just
walking and try bumping into it.
Yeah. It's like these big wide shots, and they've obviously got a wind machine off screen or just use the weather really well. But it's dark as shit, and you've just got this wide of these zombies just kind of taking their time coming towards you.
Mm.
And then it cuts to a close up of someone with a wangy eye, and it's just everything just feels really creepy.
Yeah.
But obviously, inside, it's a fucking shit fest where people can't think straight.
Yeah. Mm. Which is what it would be like,
I suppose. Yeah. But, you know, to the degree where there's people stood there screaming.
Yeah.
While there's, like, a zombie here.
Yeah.
And they're screaming at another zombie. So I think it's proper... It's pony body count time.
Yeah. they whip through the body count here and tag quite a few of them out in no short order.
Yeah. They've got three fit nurses that need knocking off, mate.
Yeah. Well, that happens pretty quickly, doesn't it? And it kind of narrows us down to, like, our final three, really, doesn't it? They sort of set about basically trying to burn all the zombies. The plan is to trap them and burn them all in the hospital.
But they get Maynard.
Yeah, he gets his face bitten right off.
A nice bit of cheek just ripped right off. Yeah, and
he turns immediately.
Yeah,
he gets tagged out again.
Yeah. That's a pretty good one, and I think he gets tagged out by Billy, I think his name is, the one with a boat and his shotgun.
Billy. Yeah, and then our final three basically burn the hospital, torch the hospital, burn it down. And make a run for the boat to try and get the fuck out of Dodge. Which, do all three of them make it to the boat?
No.
Billy
dies.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because he gets bitten, doesn't he, on the
arm? Yeah, I think they keep him on the boat, don't they, though?
No, I thought he... Right, thinking he gets bitten, so he decides to stay behind, which is a bit Dawn of the Dead remake, if I'm being honest.
I thought he was downstairs on the boat.
Yeah, I thought he was downstairs
rattling on the about boat. Going on. Because he's laid out on the bed downstairs.
Oh, okay. I just remember like the final shot as we get this in a minute. Yeah.
We were thinking that he was going to bring the disease or whatever to the mainland with him.
Yeah.
but it turns out spoilers, it's already there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they flick the radio on the boat, don't they, just to see what's popping.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they literally say, well, let's listen to something more cheerful on the radio.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is from New York. Everywhere's infected as fuck. Shit.
Watch out.
Oh, damn.
And then there's that lovely closing shot on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, that's fucking lovely, that.
It is a really good shot. They couldn't
afford to stop the traffic.
No, so the traffic's still kind of mooching about.
Yeah, yeah. They just put some car horn sounds in there, and they get like a bunch of extras just walking across into this sunset.
Though, in a sense, because everyone would try and get in the car and drive away when that shit hit the fan, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Or maybe the zombies have driving licenses.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. There we go. Left field Willy.
Yeah.
It's like that bit in Halloween where Michael Myers drives off and they're like, Michael Myers can't drive, and Loomis is like, he was doing very well last night. Who's around here gave him lessons? My Loomis impression.
That's very good, that. It's better than Malcolm McDowell's impression.
Thank you. I literally think I could have played Loomis better than Malcolm McDowell.
I think you could, yeah.
Looking forward to my pick next week, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
What?
Rome one built in a day, lads.
I'm ill. I can't do it. I can't do it, Teach. I can't do it.
No.
So that is the end of the film, I guess.
It is, yeah. I'll say it's a bit of a shorter one this week.
Yeah, we're clocking in at 47 minutes. We've already reviewed Crown Jewel as well, so that's that.
Yeah, it's punchy. I mean, if we were reviewing Crown Jewel, that'd only take 7 minutes, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fucking shit. Don't watch it. Don't worry, I'm not going to. Okay, Willie.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see if there's any other texts that you sent me.
Oh, yeah, might as well have a little spool through.
Shawn Michaels just stood a moonsault off the top rope to the outside of the ring and then killed himself. I'd take it all back. Match of the year, 5 stars. Then you correct yourself by saying 8 stars. DX win after the worst pedigree I've ever seen. Obviously, Triple H got the pin.
I think
Amy's review, it was long, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But poor Amy made her watch that.
I think the 5-star bit was in mere response to Kane's mask falling off.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know.
You got to love Kane taking a pin as well. Literally taking the fall for his brother. So Undertaker looks hard.
Yeah.
So fucking tacky. Just let the poor man get something. I mean, he's governor of something now, isn't he? But
so anyway,
I'm on my Instagram stories now. Sorry.
Okay.
Just carry on.
I'm just gonna.
So zombie flesh eaters.
Yeah.
Was a thing that has happened. I mean, I don't think it was a remake or a sequel, Dave, if I'm honest with you. But I get the Italian technicality.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let you off.
Well,
they said it was a sequel. I'm not saying it's a sequel, Rob.
Fine.
I'm not sitting here saying, this is a direct sequel to Dawn of the Dead.
It's like
Final Fantasy X-2. It's a direct sequel to 10, therefore it's 10-2.
In all fairness, with the concept of our show, we've got to, at some point, get to this sort of shit. Because it isn't just this, that it applies to.
Yeah. When we're sat here in our 70s, you'd be like, God, Dave, save us with some bullshit option. Are there any more tenuous links you can pull out?
Then we'll have to revisit fucking Return of the Evil Dead or whatever it was.
Fucking hell. No, we are not.
There's two more of them films to talk about.
There fucking well isn't.
Wilson's on holiday that week.
Yeah.
So, closing thoughts. Chris.
Oh, yeah, fair. You looked at me and said, Chris.
You're still in the fucking doghouse, mate.
I'm not getting out anytime soon, I don't think.
You're going to get home and go, Amy, you're right.
Exorcist wanker.
Yeah, because she went to bed about 30 minutes into it.
Yeah. Sit down next to the cat just gets up and walks off.
Fucking hell.
Takes a shit at the litter tray and walks off.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a slight difficult one to talk about, really, because the actual moments of splatter are really good, but other than that, it's just there. Yeah. It's just
schlock with moments of brilliance in it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like if the best bits belong to a different film, and that does include the shark and zombie classic punch
and
each other. Yeah.
Any kit, you know what I mean?
Every kit. If that was part of a different film instead of all the bullshit that surrounded it with Dr. Maynard, and in this instance, I will agree about the voodoo thing being a whole load of old bollocks here. I don't mind the whole voodoo as a wider explanation for why zombies exist.
Yeah, yeah.
But here, they don't really do anything with it, and as a result, there's a lot of downtime here, which isn't... Yeah. That wasn't even worth talking about.
No.
And it probably explains why this review's come out a lot shorter than usual, because there wasn't really much there.
Not really much there to talk about, to be
honest. Two or three big moments.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's punchy. It's a punchy review.
Punchy review for a not punchy film.
Yeah, it's a shark punchingly good review, I guess.
Hey. Very good.
But did you have a good time, Willie-ish?
Yeah.
You enjoy it more than Tremors 3? Rob? Closing thoughts, please.
My closing thoughts are quite similar to Wilson, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think as an experience, it had two or three really good moments.
Mm-hmm.
I liked both of the New York bookends.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were really nicely shot, lovely to look at, gave it a sense of scale.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a lot of padding in there. Mm-hmm. And aside from like a few good set pieces
and
some fantastic makeup effects work, it was a little bit of a heavy weather at times.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it, Dave?
I'm going to agree with you on that, to be honest. Shout out to the main theme of the film, though. I did like that main theme music.
Right.
Jungle drums relentlessly, I'm not that bothered about.
No.
And some of that calypso waiting line elevator music, not especially bothered either.
Yeah. Yeah. Crap little advert.
Yeah, crap little advert, yeah.
Quite fancy a lilt there.
Yeah, I do. Bloody hell.
We got a Tesco. Well, it's Sunday, it's closed.
Ah, fuck. Fuck! Fuck! Fuck!
But yeah, I did enjoy it. I'll probably have a look at the other one at some point if they're all on YouTube.
Yeah. I think
the last one they made was about 5 years ago, so fuck knows.
It's probably thousands of them out there, I would have thought.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
So, shovels and other shovels. Wilson.
I've not even very thought about this in advance. Turds.
It's an odd one.
I know.
It's really hard.
I'm not sure if I should go Tremors 3 territory again.
Oh dear, okay.
I know. Turns out I will say... I'll go with a 4. I'll be...
Ooh!
Or do I go higher? No, I'll stick with a 4.
I've two guns, mate.
I've committed to a 4.
Yeah, commitment.
What it is of its time, I thought it was perfectly decent.
Mm-hmm.
So the turd fact just comes from a real lack of story or anything in between the big bits to really keep me interested.
Mm-hmm.
The characters, we barely got... I remembered most of the first names, but, you can barely distinguish between one and another of them. There wasn't very much there. It was fine, but it was just okay.
Yeah.
In terms of popcorn, I'd give it a 5.
Yeah, it's fair.
Average once again.
Yeah. Roberto Del Rio.
6. 6 turds.
Fair game. Yeah.
It was a mid clogger.
It's a mid clogger.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't really go much higher than that, just because there isn't enough redeemable moments of entertainment in there to keep you ticking over. So a steady 6.
Okay. Popping candies.
Popping candies. 4.
Okay. Yeah. No.
For exactly, it's a reflection of the previous score for the same reasons. In that the 4 or 5 really fantastic moments in it make up the 4.
Mm-hmm.
But the dearth of great moments in between it kind of bring you back down to that level. How about you?
I like so far that nobody is impassioned like in the shit factor of it.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of like, no, that was all right. Even though it gets high shit scores, it's still sort of no one's angry about it.
No, no.
Which is a good thing.
Nah.
No. So, turds for me, 6.
Fair, yeah.
Mm. Solid. That's a solid clogger. Popcorns, I'm going to say a 5. If a film was really boring, then Eleanor will chime in with some comedy moments to sort of liven it up a little bit. And sure. we had a nice little couple's couch night.
Oh,
we enjoyed it. Yeah, even the worst films we watch, we can make some jokes out of it. So The Lamp!
The award-winning Lamp, yeah. I think you find you mean.
So I guess, apart from Merry Christmas, maybe Happy Birthday Me, Happy New Year, Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Crazy Kwanzaa.
Yep. Ooh! Willie.
So I think this episode is supposed to come out like January 9th time, so I think we're past everything apart from...
My birthday.
Your birthday. Me. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy 43 already. Who'd have believed it?
Oh, you're so funny. You're so funny. Michael makes that joke every 10 minutes.
You're old.
Yeah, he does. And my phone's just buzzed. You old fucking wanker. Go to sleep. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Standard.
Yeah, so we've got to pick our next films, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another trio for a collection.
Doodly doodly.
And as I move the chair first.
Yeah, it's next episode, isn't it, yours?
Yeah. After thinking about it and trying to think of a decent angle, I just thought, well, I'm surprised we've gone this long without even touching it, in all fairness.
Oh.
So I think it's time we discussed one of the more contentious, more divisive film sequels, well, horror sequels, I should say, ever, as we finally do Halloween 3 Season of the Witch.
Oh, I only watched that last week.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
That'll do, won't it?
Yeah, it's time we covered that one, I reckon.
Oof.
We'll be, what, like 35 episodes in at that point.
Yeah, I think it's time. I like that film. Spoiler.
Yeah. And then next to each other after me will be you, Roberto. So if you want to give your choice.
Yes. Go on then. You back this.
Your redemption arc.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, some time ago.
Oh, it's hyping.
In January 2018, we covered the first film of production company, was it Ghost House Pictures? Who was it that did House on Haunted Hill?
Oh, no.
Oh.
It was Spook House Pictures.
Spook House Pictures.
Doing all the William Castle stuff.
Did all the William Castle stuff, yeah.
I think I know where this is going.
So they did another William Castle remake after that. And Amy's been nagging my ass off to do this film. So, lads, it's the Matthew Lillard starring 13 Ghosts from 2001.
No.
I'm already in the shit, so fuck y'all, I'm saying.
It's redemption arc, you like the big show? What the fuck is this?
The climb is slow and yet glorious, and Wilson's just dropped Halloween 3 on us, so there's no way that I could go any higher than that.
Oh dear. And and after that one, if you're still here, Dave.
If I'm still bothered.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how many other Ghost House Pictures are there?
Spook House Pictures. Well, you get into the world of the Boogeyman and Boogeyman sequels from there.
Okay, how many in total? How many of these are we going to have to fucking sit through before?
Well, Ghost Ship is the next one after that.
Oh, no, I like that one. Carl Urban, yeah?
I don't know if that's a remake, though.
I think it is. Yeah, it is.
Right, well,
yeah.
Ghost Ship is the next one.
Yeah.
So next film is Ghost Ship.
Jesus, no.
No.
Right, so my pick, after much deliberation, as the scene, the House of Wax remake.
Oh, isn't that another one of them Ghost House, Spook House productions?
Ah, no, it's not the one you're thinking.
Okay, go on.
So we're going to go back to 1953.
Oh, yes.
For House of Wax, which many people think is the original, but he's not the original. It's a sequel to Mystery of the Wax Museum from 1933.
Well, that's exciting.
That's
a Vincent Price one.
Vincent Price one, 1953.
It's very good.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. Lots of nice, tasty effects going on there.
My redemption.
No Alicia Cuthbert.
No Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah.
The Dave's are taking your redemption arc.
My redemption arc starts on the next round of picks, and I've already picked.
It's like 3 months away.
I've already picked it. I've already picked it, and boy,
what is it? What is it?
Is it going to be a good redemption? Do you want to know now?
Yeah. We're literally going to be in the next decade by the time we get to your redemption.
Yeah, you'll have forgotten by the time it comes round again. Yeah. So what you want to know now? What my next pick after that's going
to
be?
I want to know some of these things that are on your list, even if it's not the one that's next. I want to know what's on your list.
Well, it's coming up very soon. It's at the forefront of my mind. And it will be part of the Robbie Omer's redemption angle, will be.
Ooh, yeah, ooh. No, that's redemption, yeah.
That's
yeah.
coming soon, is that?
Okay, give me another one on your list and we'll close it there. Nice. I was gonna delve into some from the original franchise.
Yeah.
So we might hilariously cross the streams, yeah.
Those things are coming. there might be I mean, we've not even seen Leatherface yet on this podcast.
No, for good reason.
Well, time will tell on that.
Time has told.
And on that bombshell,
it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And from me, it's...
Hurry up, it's Halloween. Do me shopping. Oh, WWE have announced another event in Saudi Arabia.
Well, I guess it would be nice if he would say goodbye. I know not everybody. Say bye!
Jesus. Just catch up on my Instagram stories. Come, Wilson, we need to find somewhere to get Lil at midnight on a fucking Sunday night. Bye! Little Bernie down.